Welcome to another webcast in our series about integrating Drupal with Microsoft technologies. This time, we're going to see how to integrate Drupal on IIS with a SQL Server database. Why SQL Server? Drupal offers the option to choose the database backend, so you're no more limited to MySQL. So Drupal 7 provides great support for SQL Server 2008. All major modules nowadays use PDO and portable SQL. It doesn't work only with SQL Server 2008, it works very well also with SQL Server 2008 R2 and 2012. Microsoft provides a PHP PDO driver for SQL Server. The latest version supports also PHP 5.3 and 5.4. There's also free Express Edition, which is limited to 10 GB per database, but it's enough for most installations. So, SQL Server for MySQL devs and admins. SQL Server is a relational database like MySQL. You can write queries, select, insert, update, delete exactly the same way. There are of course some difference to the dialectal version that you have between MySQL and SQL Server, of course. To give an example, MySQL is more forgiving in the group by clause, while SQL Server, like almost any other DBMS, it's way strict in that. SQL Server is also providing great management tools. Management Studio is a very, very cool graphical user interface to handle everything. There is also a free edition that you can download along with SQL Server Express. And then, of course, you have a command line tool, which is called the SQL CMD, which is the rough equivalent to the MySQL tool. Edition comparison. There is an Express free edition, as we already said. It contains everything you need for the average Drupal site. It's limited to 10 GB per database, 1 GB of memory, and one socket with a maximum of 4 cores. It doesn't mean that it's completely limited to 10 GB, because you can have multiple databases on a single instance. Each one is limited to 10 GB. Then you have the Web Edition, the Standard Edition, and the Enterprise Edition, which are not free. The Web Edition is also included in the Website Spark program, so you can have it for free. There is a feature comparison chart that you can see on the link on the slide now. Well, one thing which is really missing in the free version of MySQL is the online backup option. In SQL Server, it's also included in the Express Edition. You can do full backups, differential backups, and also you can do your log backups, or the transaction log, which means that you can do a proper backup policy scheduling in order to lose the minimum amount of data in case of crash, or even not even a single byte if you're able to recover the current transaction log. Then you can have replication, which is available from the Standard Edition onwards, while the Web and the Express Edition can be used only as subscribers. Mirroring, so you can mirror your data among more than one instance, and it's available also from the Standard Edition upwards. Log shipping, available from the Web Edition upwards, and some great profiling tools which are available from the Standard Edition upwards. Consider that all the tools, including the profiling ones, are working also with an Express Edition, but you need to have the Standard Edition in order to have them. They are also included in the Developer Edition, which is available for development purposes only. You can install multiple isolated instances on the same server. What does this mean? It means that they are separated environments that are completely isolated one from the other. You can of course put them to communicate, but it's more or less like communicated between different servers. Only one can be the default unnamed instance. All the others are named. It means that you connect to the server with a name. So for example, your server / SQL Express, which is the typical instance name for a SQL Express installation. SQL Server instances like MySQL contain multiple databases, so you have a similarity here. Every Drupal site has usually a separate database, or you can use also the table prefix, of course, if you prefer just to prefix the tables in a different way and host them all in a single database. Databases can be moved to different instances very easily. You can detach them from one and attach them from to the other. In the simplest form, a database consists of two files. There is an MDF file containing the data and an LDF file containing the transaction log. Databases can also be put individually offline and online. Authentication is a bit different from MySQL. You have logins, which are credentials needed to connect to the instance. They can be Windows accounts, and you have the integrated authentication, which means that you don't need to supply any password. It's the best security approach, since this means also that you don't need to save your password inside of your PHP settings file or whatever. Or you can have the SQL Server mixed mode, and this is the classical username and password approach, in which credentials are stored inside of SQL Server, and you can provide username and password. There is also another option by providing certificates that we are not treating in this case. Instance-wide roles can be assigned to logins. So for example, you can take a login and say that it's a sysadmin for the entire instance. Database users are specific to each database. Logins are mapped to database users. Object-level permissions, so for example, table, views, and so on, are granted to users, not to logins. You can also have roles, which are a collection of permissions, and users can be assigned to roles. So the idea of roles is basically similar to what you can have in MySQL. You have some main database roles, which are available by default, which are DB owner, DB data reader, DB data writer, and DB DDL admin, and a few others that you can use out of the box without creating your own. For example, DB owner can be assigned in order to have your user doing everything he needs to do on the database, not instance, only the database. Data reader means that the user can only run selects on any tables or views. Data writer can run insert, update, and delete, and DB DDL admin can run any type of DDL command like create, drop, and so on. How do we create a database? It's very easily with Management Studio, so it's a matter of you clicking the user interface, as we will see in the forthcoming demos. Or you can do it also by scripting it via command line. So you can use SQL CMD, passing a minus S and the name of the instance, and minus E in this case to specify that we are using integrated credentials. So we are connecting to SQL Server using our specific username with which we are connected to the Windows box itself. So we do a create database, very similar to what you have on MySQL. The difference here is that you can also specify the physical storage. So for example, where you want to store data and where you want to store the logs. In the simplest form, it takes the default locations. Create login will create a specific login with a given password. So for the SQL Server authentication in this case. Then we move with the use Drupal 7 to our new database. Also here, note that you have the use keyword. Go is just an instruction to tell SQL CMD to terminate the previous batch and go on. Create user is creating a specific user inside of the database. And in this case, we are mapping it directly on a login. So for simplicity, we keep the same name for the user and the login. Afterwards, we execute a specific store procedure, which is SP add role member, to add Drupal 7 to the DB owner role. Now, how do we install a Drupal 7 site with SQL Server using WebPI? It's very simple. You just fire up Web Platform Installer and you add your site and you specify while creating the site that you want to use a local instance of SQL Server. It will automatically download and install SQL Server for you in the Express edition. You can also add a SQL Server 2008 R2 Management Studio Express with SP1. In this way, you will also have the Management Studio. What if you want to do it without WebPI? Well, it's also very simple. You just create your website in the usual way, in IIS. Afterwards, you download and install the SQL Server PDO drivers. You have the link on the slide right now. You enable the PHP extensions in php.ini, so php underscore SQL Server and php underscore PDO underscore SQL Server. And then you can use Drush to download the SQL Server module, which is needed for all the schema files and related resources. In the command prompt, you go inside of your website directory and you just issue an xcopy command just to copy everything you need in order to having Drupal knowing about your SQL Server support. Database management is very important. You cannot have a live website without proper database management behind. So one important thing is scheduling a proper backup policy, with or without backing up the transaction log. But this way you make sure that whatever happens to your server, your data are always available to be restored. You can schedule a maintenance task. which means updating statistic, reindexing all the tables, and shrinking the database. This is a typical activity that you do once a day or once a week. Scheduling a proper backup policy is very important. For example, you can have a full database backup every night. Depending on the size of your database, if it's not too big, you can do that every night. If it's big, so let's say above some 20 gigabytes, I suggest to do a full backup once a week, let's say on Sunday, and differentials backup every night. You have also to think about backupping your logs. The idea is very simple. What happens if your server crashes? You have to restore your database, and this is pretty easy because you keep a copy of your files, and then you also have to restore your data. Well, what you can do is restoring the latest backup that you have. So if you have a backup which comes from the previous night, you are losing all the data that the user entered during the day. So the best option here is to backup also the transaction log, which means backing up only the instructions, to cut it shortly, that were issued in a given amount of time, let's say since the last backup log that you did. So if you log every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, depending on your database, then it means that you're not going to lose more than 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of data. If you're lucky and your transaction log is still there, then you're not losing any single transaction. To be able to backup the transaction log, set the database recovery model to full or bulk logged. The default is simple. The reason is that if you put your database in full or bulk logged mode, then you have to schedule a log backup policy. Otherwise, your log will just grow and grow and grow waiting for you to back it up. If you don't do it, it will end up occupying all the free space available. That's the reason why the default mode is simple. In default mode, as already said, you cannot backup the transaction log. So how to schedule a proper backup? You can use Management Studio, which is a matter of a few clicks, but consider that in the Express Edition you have no tools to do a proper scheduling. You can run a single backup straight away, but you cannot say, okay, let's schedule it for, I don't know, tonight at 2 o'clock. You can also issue a single backup database instruction. Consider that everything that Management Studio or any kind of graphical user interface tool does is just issuing some TSQL instructions. So you can also do that manually if you prefer. Backup database is the instruction that you use to backup a given database. So the instruction that you see in the slide now is just saying I'm backing up a given database to disk on a given file, providing a given name. So this is a full backup. The best idea is to store, of course, backups on a remote file share, because if your database host crashes and you cannot recover the data, then of course you cannot recover the backups as well. So the best option is to create a network share and put the backups there. In order to do that, the SQL service needs to be authenticated on the remote share. So, and the easiest way to accomplish this is to create a user and having the SQL Server service running with that user credentials. You create also the same user on the remote share or user domain account, of course, and you have the result that you want. That's what we are going to do in the forthcoming demo. Well, in order to set the recovery model from simple to bulk logged or to full, you can use, of course, Management Studio, also here a matter of clicks, or SQL CMD, for example, and issue an instruction. It's just an alter database, set recovery full, that's it. Well, how do we schedule a backup? So issuing a backup is one thing and scheduling is another thing. The Express Edition of SQL Server doesn't have a UI to schedule backups and other tasks. So we can use Windows Scheduler to schedule full backup every night, log backups every 5 minutes, and delete the old backups every night. Let's say that we want to get rid of all the backups which are older than, I don't know, 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, whatever. You don't want to keep your backups forever, because afterwards they're going to eat too much space in your file share. To do that, we are going to use the Windows Schedule Tasks. It's something similar to Linux CrownTab, to get it easy. Here is the instruction. You say schedule task exe, create, you give it a name, and afterwards you pass an instruction. In this case, we pass the SQL CMD instruction. And then we say that it's going to be run daily with administrator credentials. It's going to be repeated every day, and it will start at 2 o'clock in the morning. To schedule a log backup, it's very similar, with the only difference that you're going to say that you want to do it with a minute granularity, and you want to do it every 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. In this case, you're going to use the MO switch here. Restoring a database is also very easy. It can be done with Management Studio, that's the best option since it's something that you're not typically doing every day, or you can do it also manually. The restore database is the TSQL instruction that you're going to run. So you have to specify typically the full database backup that you're going to use, and afterwards maybe differential backups, and why not logs. All the logs need to be restored since the last full or differential backup, of course. The first demo that we're going to perform is about installing SQL Server and Drupal with WebAPI, just to show how simple it is. So we're just looking for Drupal. We can take the Acquia Drupal 7 one or the one that the commerce guys created. We can take this one. And then we just say install. At this point, WebAPI is asking if we want to use SQL Server or MySQL. We choose SQL Server. If we want to install it on our machine or if we want to a remote instance, we install it locally. Choose continue, and at this point WebAPI will choose all the proper dependencies for us. We say I accept. We can choose what type of authentication we provide for SQL Server. Let's leave the mixed mode, which is allowing us to provide also username and password. And we provide a password for SA. SA is actually the administrator of SQL Server. Okay, let's install everything. We are installing SQL Server Express 2008 R2. Okay, here we go. Next step consists in creating a new website. We just call it Drupal 7 physical path. And a host name. That's it. The folder doesn't exist, so we say yes. We say create a new database. We provide a password for the administrator in order to create a database. And a password for the 87 user that we are creating right now. The instance is called SQL Express. Here we go. It's finished. Now let's add the host name because we are using a fake host name in order to test our website. We can fire up Internet IIS Manager. Here's our website. Let's browse it. Okay, can continue the installation. We don't have to provide any information related to the database. It's already done. Ready. Let's provide an email address. Just a fake one. Username. Password. Here we go. Our site is ready. With just a few clicks. Now we're going to install SQL Server without using WebAPI. Alright, this is also an Express edition. R2. Okay, we leave the default name for the instance. You could change it, of course, with whatever you want, for example, Drupal or something else, or we could just choose the default instance, so the one without name. We leave the default name. Okay, now in order to have the services running with a specific user, we just have to create one. So I refer to the simple guide that I added to the webcast. And I'm launching a simple script which is creating a user called SQL Server and also is making sure that the password for this given user is not going to expire. Now we just look for it. Here it is, password, and go. Next step, we choose mixed mode authentication, which is needed in order to have users authenticated also by username and password and not only Windows users authenticated. There we go. Okay, the setup is finished. Now the next step is simply to create a database. We can do it with a user interface, which is very, very simple, which is called Management Studio. Here we are, just connect to the local instance, and here are our databases. We can just create a database with new database. Specifying also where to store it in case. And here we are done. We need at this point to create a login. We will call Drupal 7. Specify SQL Server authentication. And map it to the Drupal 7 database as a DBORN. This is it. That's everything we had to do. I want you also to show how to do the same thing via command line. So I'm going to delete the login we created and also the database we created. Okay. To get the same result, we can just run a script like this one. It's basically saying create a database, create login, and then create a user for the given login and assign it to the DB owner role. So let's start a new command prompt. We connect to the local SQL Express instance with integrated authentication. Here it is. We had the same identical result. If we look now with a refresh, we will see the database also here, and also the login. We are using WebPI to install all the dependencies that we need. We will install the website itself manually. So let's start by looking for PHP 5.3. Here it is, we add it to the list. We add also the Windows Cache extensions, and the PDO drivers are already here. Let's look also for URL rewrite. Let's add it. And let's check PHP Manager. Also already added. So let's install everything. Here you can see that you have some additional dependencies. Okay, finish downloading and installing everything. So we can say okay. You can also close here. Time now to start with our Drupal installation. So we take a copy of Drupal that we got from the drupal.org website and we just install it here. Can remove any previous ones. Okay, just renaming it. setting proper permissions. The user a user, right? Okay, here we go. Time to install Drush. So let's go back to installation. This is just the Drush installer. Let's register also the environment variables for Drush. Okay, let's go in a command prompt, go in the user home, create a .drush directory, and we copy in an aliases drush rc file. It's a very simple one, contains just a reference saying okay that the Drupal 7 alias, it's referring the Drupal 7 website with a given physical path. Okay, let's create a website in IIS. Drupal 7. There it is. And the host name is going to be Drupal 7. We already put this in the hosts file. So we can check here. Yep, everything is working. Okay, let's go on. English, it's okay. All right, here, as you can see, SQL Server is not in the list, so we need to be sure that it will be. First, we need to download the proper support. Okay. Now we can just go to the website directory. And just copy over all the files that we need. Okay. Let's refresh this page and SQL Server support is enabled. So we click on SQL Server. Database name is Drupal 7, it's the one that we created before. Database username is again Drupal 7. And the password is the one we created. Let's check the options, what they say. Database host is not localhost, but it's localhost/SQL Express. And we can leave the default for table prefix and database port. Okay, initialization in progress. Just a fake mail email just to go on with the setup. Okay, our new site is online. You can see all your tables by just opening your database, and here are all your tables and your data. As you can see, it's very simple to install a new Drupal website with SQL Server support. The next demo is about handling backups. So let's connect to our database instance, and a very easy way to handle the backup is just to say, okay, backup everything, and let's say that we backup it in a given directory. So it could be C backup and Drupal 7 .bug. Just have to be sure that this directory exists. And we can go. It's a full backup. This is the name of the backup. So we can just go for it. It's already done. If we go inside of that directory, here it is. Let's say, for example, now that for some reason we made a mistake and we destroyed something inside of the database. We can move a table. And as you can see, now we have a very, very bad error. We're just refreshing the page. We can very easily restore the database. It's already taking into account the last backup we did. Say OK. It's waiting for our clients to get out. So one thing we can do is just to stop our website. And everything completes properly. Now we can restart it. And everything returns to how it was before our disastrous delete. Now let's talk about scheduling backups. The first thing that we want to do is to make sure that the backups are not going to be on the machine itself, because if the machine crashes, also our backups are going to disappear. The next thing that we're going to do is to create the user, the share, and assign the proper permission on the share and on the file system. So to do that, let's go back to our instructions. First, we need to create the same user with the same password on the server. Okay, and now we can create the share assigning the proper permissions. Okay. Let's see that everything is okay. Here's the directory. Sharing is perfectly set. And security is perfectly set. Now, let's take some scripts that I prepared, which are, of course, available for download among the resources for this webcast. And let's just copy them in the backup directory. How do they look like? Let's take this one. For example, it's saying that we are going to create a backup, a full backup in this case, full database backup, to disk on a specific file, here is a variable, which is on a given file share, and is created by concatenating a name, in this case Drupal 7 backup full, and some information related to the current date, so year, month, day, and so on. Let's run it. Okay, it worked perfectly. Let's go and see what we have there. And we created properly the file, as you can see. Well, let's say that we want to have a scheduling for this thing in order to happen every night. We create also here a script. And in Windows, we don't have crontap. We have the scheduled tasks. So we can do that, for example, with a very simple script like this one, which is saying that the script that we just saw is going to run every night at 2 o'clock, and with the credentials of the administrator user in this case. Here it is. We can also go and take a look about how it looks like. Here is our task, and as you can see, it's saying that it's running every night at 2 a.m. So this is already enough, let's say, as a very, very basic backup policy. We can force, for example, the same script to run by just specifying the name of the backup task and the run action. So now we run it, and if we go on the other server, we see that we just created a new backup. In case you should want to delete the script, you just can use the delete command. I'm not going to run it now because we need it. So the next step is to make sure that we are also backupping the transaction log, because like now, what we get if we have a crash at, let's say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we lose all the data from 2 o'clock in the morning to the moment in which the crash happens. So we want to be sure to be able to recover every possible byte, every possible transaction up to the last moment. To do that, we need to backup also the log, the transaction log. Now we want to change the recovery model and set it to full. We can do it with the interface, properties, options. Here it is, recovery model, select full and go. Otherwise, you might also choose to use the scripting option and just saying alter database set recovery model full. Set recovery full. Okay, time to schedule also a separate script to backup the log, and this script is going to say I'm running every 15 minutes, so the granularity is minute, and every 15. Running a specific script, which is Drupal 7 backup log SQL, in the same directory. Have to provide a password. Here it is. Great. How does this script look like? Let's go in the backup directory. Here it is, exactly the same, except that we say backup log here. So if you compare them, it's saying backup database here and backup log here. I can also run it manually. And it's saying that it cannot perform it because we didn't do any full backup since we changed the recovery model. So we can just go here, execute a normal backup, go back here, and now everything works. Okay, now, as you can see, we are going to generate lots and lots of backup files. I mean, one every 15 minutes. It's very small. As you can see, this is a log backup. It's very, very small, but I mean, adding in time, it will end up by filling out all your available space on the file server. So we need also to schedule a separate job in order to be sure that files older than a given date are going to be deleted automatically. I provided also here a specific task for that, and it's this script that you can see here. It's very simple. We specify a variable with the path, which is a remote host in this case, and then we use the four files command that you have in the available in the command prompt in the operating system to say delete everything which is older than 15 days, and it's matching this pattern, so having the back extension. It's working also on a UNC share, like in this case, but we need a simple trick, which is pushd that we're using here. In case you need to authenticate on that directory, I left here commented also the instruction to do proper authentication. So we can script also this one. And it's running every night at 1 o'clock. Okay, created. One last step is related to the maintenance task that we need. Here is the script. It's just saying that on the Drupal 7 database, we are going to, when we run this script, we are going to re-index every table, which means dropping and recreating every index for performance reasons, and also we are going to update all the statistics. Okay. Afterwards, we are shrinking the database. So I can run it manually. Here's the result. And we can just script it as usual. We run it every night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now you have a well-designed backup policy. You can in any time, of course, change it to better suit your needs. For example, if the database will grow quite big, one of the options is to avoid having a full backup every night because of the amount of space is going to waste, and to create a full backup every Sunday, for example, and differential backups every night. So here's an example. You can say, I'm scheduling the full backup for Sunday night at 2 o'clock and a differential backup for all the remaining days of the week, still at 2 o'clock. The script is also available here, and it's very similar to the other ones. The big difference that we just write here with differential, which is not happening here. So by default, it's a full backup. Okay, this is it.